Let's pray.
Lord, we could spend the whole night here giving you thanks for the treasure of your word. Suffice it then that we do say thank you for your word. Thank you for the prophets and the apostles whom you inspired to record it for us. Thanking you that you have kept it pure in every age. Thanking you for the men that you've gifted and risen up and raised that they might give us a translation in our own tongue and we might understand your word in a meaningful way to us. And asking tonight as we gather that you would feed us by it and instruct us by it and build us up in the faith, hope, and love of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading tonight comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, and we'll read together verses 15 through 23. Congregation, hear the word of the Lord. Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. This is the word of the Lord. And our confessional reading tonight is head number 2, Christ's death, human redemption through it. We'll read together articles 3 and 4. Article number 3, the infinite value of Christ's death. This death of God's Son is the only and entirely complete sacrifice and satisfaction for sins. It is of infinite value and worth, more than sufficient to atone for the sins of the whole world. And article number 4, reasons for this infinite value. This death is of such great value and worth for the reason that the person who suffered it is, as was necessary to be our Savior, not only a true and perfectly holy man, but also the only begotten Son of God, of the same eternal and infinite essence with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Another reason is that this death was accompanied by the experience of God's anger and curse, which we, by our sins, had fully deserved. Beloved saints in our Lord Jesus Christ, it's my privilege and duty to speak to you again tonight in the name of our great God. I continue to speak to you the truth of God's word as they have been codified in the canons of Dort. I remind you that this synod of the Belgic Church, which had universal representation of the Reformed Church at its sitting, met to answer one question. Is the teaching of Jacob Arminius consistent with the Belgic Confession of Faith? The question was, that church's interpretation of God's word. I remind you that every church and every person, even non-believers, at times will give interpretations of the Bible. Every person has a confession of faith. It is either written down or it is unwritten. As soon as you ask a person what he or she believes about some portion of the whole of God's word, you are listening to their confession of faith. Well, the Synod of Dort listened to Arminius's through his writings and found it not in line with the churches that he was a professed minister of, and consequently not in line with God's word in that church's understanding of it. The area of dispute that we are currently looking at is the doctrine of Christ's death and human redemption through it. The first seven articles of the canons cover the common or shared Christian convictions regarding the atonement. Articles 8 and 9 of this head give the distinct Reformed teaching on the atonement. So we are currently looking at the common Christian convictions about the atonement. The first conviction is that God's justice must be satisfied. That was Article 1. God never acts unjustly. Even his forgiveness, his mercy, is given justly. And this leads to the second common Christian conviction, Article 2, that God in his mercy gave his own Son to be our surety and to give satisfaction to God's justice on our behalf by becoming sin and a curse for us on the cross. Well, the third conviction, which we looked at last week and we're continuing tonight, is that Christ's death is of infinite value and worth because it, one, alone satisfied for sin. Two, it was joined with the experience of God's anger that we deserved. And number three, it was submitted to by none other than the eternal Son of God. Now, we looked at this first reason last time, that Christ's death is of infinite value and worth because it alone can satisfy for sin, and that perfectly, and we looked at the reasons there. So tonight, we're going to focus on these other two reasons which make Christ's death priceless. The death of Jesus Christ is priceless. And I hope to remind you, it is priceless. Now, I remind you that things, places, people get their value and consequently their worth by how important or useful they are to us. The importance of Christ's death, so far as we have looked at it in this head, is that without it, there is no salvation. Believers receive life because Christ died for them. Believers are blessed, that means drawn near to God, because Christ became a curse, cast out from God, for them. Furthermore, the usefulness of Christ's death, so far as we have looked at it, is that without it, we cannot draw near to God to worship and serve Him. Believers have been sanctified, set apart, consecrated by Christ's sacrificial death. Therefore, they are holy in Christ and can approach God and live in fellowship with Him. Let me pause there real quick and amplify on that. We're used to hearing, and you heard me say it this morning, you're sprinkled with Christ's blood. And you might think, when was I ever sprinkled with Christ's blood? The blood, remember, has the life, and what it's talking about is Christ's death. He shed His blood and gave you life by it. But we looked at it last week, right? To be in Christ and to be sprinkled with His blood and be consecrated in Him, we saw that what His sacrifice consisted of is not just that He died, but that He offered willingly to God His life in obedience. That's the holiness of His sacrifice. He willingly offered Himself in obedience to God to save your soul from death. That holy submission to the Father's will. That's what you're covered in. That's what the Father sees and why you can go near to Him. And of course, by His death, all your sins have been taken away. But it's that holy offering of Jesus Christ that consecrates you. Believers have their consciences cleansed from the guilt of their sins by Christ's death, and also by prayer of confession that's offered upon it. First John reminds us that God is a faithful and just God and covenant to his people, that when they sin, they should confess their sins to him and he will forgive them and cleanse them. So we offer prayer upon Christ's death in confessing our sins. And by it, our consciences are cleansed from that guilt, and we can draw near to God. They can in confidence and boldness approach the throne of grace and ask for the things they need. So, Christ's death is priceless, is valuable, because by it alone we are saved, and by it alone we can draw near to God. Well, tonight, I aim to show you that Christ's death is valuable, is priceless, because one, who Christ is, and two, what kind of death he died. And remember, these are common Christian convictions. So they may not be new to you, but that does not mean that they're unimportant nor unworthy of your further attention. An action is more important depending on who performs it. A U.S. citizen holding up a pro-choice sign or a pro-life sign has some significance. But a U.S. president holding up one of those signs has a greater significance and thus greater importance. This greater importance and this greater value comes from who he is, and in the president's case, from his office. The president's actions, because of his office, are intrinsically more important than others. Now, of course, that doesn't mean in every area of his life, but you get the point. Who a person is gives intrinsic value to what they do. Well, the most important being is God. Or the three most important persons is that one God. If God should ever do something, you would want to know about it. Because without a doubt, it will be of importance to you. Now, the gospel reveals that God took on flesh and died. And you saw that in our reading from Colossians chapter 1, where we read, "In him," that is God's beloved Son, who is the head of the body, the church, "all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell," verse 19, "and through him God reconciled to himself all things, making peace by the blood of the cross." So Jesus Christ, the God-man, the second person of the Trinity, his actions as such are extremely valuable and intrinsically more so than my actions or your actions. Now, your actions are important. And that's probably a lesson that needs to get taught a lot because, well, people just don't think their lives matters, and they matter a lot. My actions are important, but Jesus' actions and God's actions are more so. Now, news, right, spreads around by people saying, "Did you hear what so-and-so said or what so-and-so did?" But evangelism is about telling the world what the most important figure in all of history has done and has said. I needed to be reminded of that. But the most important figure in all of history, Paul says, God's eternal purpose, Jesus Christ, but the most important person in all of history, what he has said and done. That's what evangelism is about. Let me tell you what the most important person has said and has done, because it is of intrinsic value to you, because he is the most important person in history. And isn't that the big part of evangelism, is convincing people that Jesus Christ is the most important person to their lives? So don't forget the intrinsic value of Christ's death, owing simply to the person who suffered it, the God-man. And really, we could spend a whole sermon here meditating upon who he is. You read it there in 1 or Colossians 1:15, it's hard not to read those with words of excitement as he's building to their preeminence and reminded of such a glorious figure as him submitted himself to death. But secondly, Christ's death is valuable because of what kind of death he died. Now, you may be thinking, I already know what kind of death he died. You've told me already he died a sinner's death in satisfaction to divine justice, which we've looked at Article 1 and 2. And if you're thinking this way, then of course you'd be right, but there is more to his death. It is not only the only death that will ever satisfy God's justice. And I remind you that non-believers will satisfy, or they will suffer eternally in hell in satisfaction for God's justice, but never satisfy it. This is an awesome fact, isn't it? There's one person who has satisfied divine justice, and that's Jesus Christ. And you can see how wonderful it is to be in it. Your sins are gone. They are paid for. But it's also of great importance to you, not that it perfectly satisfied for sin, but that it was done for you. That is, Jesus' death was vicarious, and if that is a word you don't know, that means in your place, done for you. The canons put it this way, this death, that is, Christ's death, was accompanied by the experience of God's anger and curse, which we, by our sins, had fully deserved. The Apostle Paul simply says in 1 Corinthians 15:3, Christ died for our sins. All right, the death Christ died under the experience of God's anger and curse, right, was our death. He took it. So then, I don't know anything of greater importance to me and of greater worth than Christ's accursed death for me, for I do not want to die under the experience of God's anger and his curse. If you are not trusting in Jesus Christ, then you will die accursed. But I make known to you God's will. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. These then are the common Christian convictions. They have been held by our Christian forefathers in every age. One, that Christ's death is important because by it he satisfied divine justice, which brings us salvation. Two, Christ's death is important because Christ is not only a perfect, sinless man, but the eternal Son of God. And therefore, it is of intrinsic importance and value of what he did as the most important man in all of history. And thirdly, Christ's death is of great importance, great worth, great value, priceless, because it was vicarious for those who would believe on his name. And just who those persons should be is what is disputed between the Reformed churches and other denominations that you and I will look at a further date. So, beloved, remember, priceless things are cherished and held dear. Always hold dear Christ's death for you. There is nothing more Christian than that. No more common conviction has been held by the church than that the Son of God loved me and gave his life for me. And may God ever keep you in that love. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for seeing tonight of what great value and worth, and be reminded of what Christ's death is for us. That our sins, your justice has been satisfied, you have no more wrath and anger towards us. That none other than the eternal Son of God has left the heavenly realms and come down here and submitted himself to die accursed, shamed, mocked on the cross for us, and that he did do it for us. O Lord, we do confess that your death is priceless. Help us all to continue to hold it as the most cherished thing in our life and to continually and daily be nourished that the Son of God loved us and laid down his life for us. Build us up in that glorious faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.